us today.
Woohoo!
Yeah. That was super delayed.
Control your excitement, Ruh.
I'm tired, dude.
Yeah, well, you're old. You're old.
Fuck.
You're just always tired when you're old. It's just how it is.
Oh, yeah, I just couldn't be those 12-hour shifts consecutively.
Mm-mm.
No,
not at all.
Not even a little bit. Not it. Couldn't be that.
So what's going on?
Everything.
Yeah? Anything you want to tell us?
No, it's a great part of the interview.
So it is.
We have our shit together. We're not tired parents at the start of the school year. No. Everything's fine.
Yeah, man. Mabel's is in a new school.
Is she?
Yeah, she's in one of those smart people schools. One of the ones my parents never knew the joy of going to. My parents' education experience with me was like, yeah, he won't shut up. Or
no way.
Yeah.
No.
I'll do a lesson and then ask him questions, and it's like he hasn't even been in the same room as us. So yeah, my parents' experience with education was probably pretty horrible, especially with me, because I didn't really care ever.
Imagine that.
I know. Hold I back mean. Y'all's excitement. I mean, y'all's surprise.
Oh yeah.
Because it was crazy.
Well, my daughter's school seriously screwed the pooch. Yeah. We made CNN.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
that's the kind of place you want to go to.
Yeah, that was good. So they were short school bus drivers last year, and some kids were getting home.
How tall were they?
Shut up. So some kids were getting home like an hour or two late. But it wasn't like every day. It was just, you know, short drivers. Nobody really wants that job. I'm sure it's a thankless job.
Especially when you can't wrap the kids in like masking tape and gag them.
Especially like, you know, kids have no filter. So anyway, they decided to change a bunch of school times and use AI to create new bus routes.
Oh, crap.
The first day of school, my daughter was about 15 or 20 minutes late getting home, which I wasn't tripping. My daughter's a teenager. She has a cell phone. I figured if there was an emergency, yeah. I'd know.
Plus, you probably weren't even walking, so why would you trip?
Right, exactly. Fuck off. So, like, I didn't think about it. She comes home. She's super excited about her first day as a senior. She's telling me everything, and she's like, but Mom, there were still kids waiting on the buses when I left.
Oh, that's
bad. I was like, yeah, well, you know, first day, new routes, whatever. Well, the last kid in our county didn't get home until 9:58 at night.
Holy crap.
It was an elementary school student.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it was parents were calling the cops thinking their kids were missing. Kids weren't showing up at home. School buses weren't showing up. It was an absolute clusterfuck. So then the superintendent had to make a video and send it to everybody, including news stations, and cancel school.
Wow.
After one day. And it was just supposed to be for Thursday and Friday, which turned into the entirety of this week.
Wow. Well, you know what? I normally, after the first day of school, when I went, was pretty much done for the rest of the year, too. So there you go. I can't really judge.
It is a mess. Very anxious senior who is excited about her year, but nervous about becoming an adult. And they were like, here it is. No, it's not. She's like,
psych.
What am I doing? But I mean,
you're
going to
graduate. No, you're going to repeat.
She was really not happy.
The opposite of Uncle Brent.
I left her room because I got a text message at 6 a.m. that school was canceled. And so I tell her, she's all dressed for school. I turn around, I start the water for coffee. I come back in her room and she's already in bed. She's back in bed.
I quit.
She was like, I'm tapping out. I was like, bro, did you at least put on pajamas? She said, absolutely not. I'm still in my school clothes.
That's funny. You know what they need to do? Because this AI stuff is kind of crazy, but they need to get Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that dude always got where he needed to go.
Right.
Because, you know, he was always where he needed to be at the right time, all the time. I think his name is Michael, the character in the show. So we just need Kit.
We need Michael.
No, Michael's the driver.
Oh,
Kit is the car. You didn't watch Knight Rider?
I mean, I know what it is.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
I mean, I think it's a little before me, my time.
What's
I think
not?
I might have been littler. I might have been little.
You were little.
I was little. I was really little, dude. You need to. There's an age gap between me and you. You're not.
Shut up.
You're not prepared to.
Shut up. Shut up, you bastard. Hey,
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So today I was I don't know what I was doing, but I came across Lewis Capaldi. You know who he is? So he's kind of a pop singer. He's Scottish.
Yeah.
Before you go.
Yeah.
Forget me, someone you loved. I used to be someone you loved. You know that song? So he has Tourette's. He got diagnosed with Tourette's. And I came across this video, and it shows him in concert, and he has an attack right there when he's singing his song, Someone You Loved. He can't sing at all. So the crowd starts singing for him.
Oh.
And so basically what happened was he sang what he could. And then when he couldn't sing, they would fill in for him. I thought that was so sweet. Knock, knock.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Long time no see.
You know what? Every time I see you after hearing your music, I'm just like, he's too pretty. He's all clean cut. It's just crazy that you can create that kind of stuff and be so well put together.
I don't know. The eye bags are really happening today.
Oh.
How have you guys been?
Busy. So busy.
So you guys have done more than 70 interviews since I last spoke to you. That's insane.
Has it been that many, really?
Yeah, it's like 76 or something.
Holy
fuck
shit.
Yeah.
You do one show a week pretty regularly.
One show a week, pretty regularly.
That's a year and a half nonstop.
Unless she drinks too much and then we don't. So
look, there was one time.
One time. You're such a liar. It's more than one time. I just didn't say anything, you lush.
He makes me sound like an alcoholic. I haven't had a drink in 2 months. Just want to put that out there to the audience.
So I would like to do your intro. Would you mind if I did that for you?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Yes. I'm excited about this one. This artist can play everything. And that's one of the reasons we love him and hate him. Now, this talented individual has taken up the mantle of singing. Is there nothing he can't do? We'll have to ask his SO, significant other, to find out for certain. Let's welcome Ivan of Minor Arc. How's it going, man?
Woo.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Man.
Thanks for being on. You've been busy.
You have been. Tell us about it. What's going on?
Oh, I guess the biggest thing since we last met was our move back to Melbourne. We like to think of it as being Australia's creative hub, most creative city. People from Sydney will argue that that's a lie, but fuck them. yeah, it's a really kind of an artistic place compared to where I moved from, which is Canberra, which is like the center of politics. A lot of diplomats, a lot of people live there for sort of short periods of time, kind of transient residency, come in, do their job and then leave. Mm-hmm. Whereas Melbourne, I don't know, it's feels a bit more long term. So this isn't where I was born, but it definitely feels like home to to myself and the missus as well. It's just a bit rougher around the edges and a bit more real. Yeah, so that was hard work.
It kind of felt like home once you got there, though, didn't it? Around other creative people.
Just to see some graffiti on a wall was really cool because Canberra's so clean. It's like feels like a mini Singapore, but in the middle of Australian bushland.
Have you been able to find places to play out there, or are you looking at stuff like that?
Too early. Only just kind of feel like we're settled now. So it's 600 kilometers away from where we were before. And I don't know, just dealing with furniture and boxes of stuff. And then before we moved in, we had to spend a few weeks in a hotel while we got a bit of work done on the house.
Oh, that's so challenging.
Been a real trip. Yeah, yeah.
So you have a new EP out called Inclusions. I got to listen to 2 songs out of 5. Why are you such a tease? Why couldn't I have bought the other ones? I can't even buy the other songs. What's tease? What's going
on? It's called a pre-order. That's the whole idea. I don't know. Bandcamp adds these features occasionally, and I just have to try them out. So I'd never done a pre-order before. I've done crowdfunding and stuff with the previous release. So I thought I'll see how pre-ordering goes. See people are willing to make an investment before they can enjoy the whole thing, or hopefully enjoy it. They might hate it, but at least they've heard 2 tracks to get a feel for where it's going.
Well, I saw
it also buys me some time. Buys time to finish the other 6 tracks, right?
You haven't finished the tracks yet? It's coming out September 1st, man.
They're uploaded, I think are the final versions, but if I have a listen in a few days and go, ooh, what was I thinking? I've still got time to change it up. You should try it out. Try that out a pre-order, man.
I'm going to probably have to end up doing that, but I have to wait till payday. But, you know, I was kind of bummed because you have the titles of the other songs there. And I was like looking at one going, man, I want to listen to that one.
Which
I like
one?
That title. Let me scroll down and look at it real quick. It's called Bleeding Facet. At first I thought it was Bleeding Faucet. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then I said, no, that's Facet. And I was like, Bleeding Facet. See, that's a good name. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
The name does justice to the content.
But yeah, I'm excited to. I'm always excited to listen to your stuff. I listen to the compilation album periodically just to go through and listen to that, and that's pretty cool too. That you put together. So.
Oh no, that was a communal effort. That's a really fun trip listening through that. I return to it occasionally too, just. Go through the different styles as they merge together between tracks.
Tell our listeners who may, because we have some new ones, about the compilation a little bit.
Oh, so I run a site called Dark Stereo, which is mainly written reviews or interviews with artists, kind of like an old school podcast, I guess, but done by email, and it takes many, many months. and as part of that, we used to do compilations quite regularly back in the 2010 to, I don't know, 2015 era. And then we sort of stopped and thought, too hard. It's a lot of work. And then, we decided to do another one after some of my friends here in Melbourne suggested that I get the site happening again. Kind of wanted a way to give back to people that had helped me out along the way. And that was the way to do it. I like writing as well. I write a bit of fiction in my spare time, so quite happy to exchange emails with musicians and learn more about them.
You do put a lot of good artists. You cover a lot of good artists on Dark Stereo. So that's why I like it, because, you know, a lot of people my age, and I may be your age, but I don't know for certain. I know Ranelle's younger than me. But a lot of people my age, it's like they stop at some point. They stop looking for new music and stuff like that. And I have a friend that like didn't get past the 80s. And I was like, dude, there's music out there outside of the 80s. And he goes, well, I just kind of found what I like and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm like, you're listening to the same thing over and over. You're not learning anything. You're not experiencing Correct. Anything. Because I search for stuff. So that's when your site comes in handy. But it's an important thing for someone like me. Do you find that with people that they get to a certain age, they just stop looking for new music?
Yeah, I feel that kind of happening to me sometimes. I try to look for new stuff, but it's not easy because there's so much.
There is a lot. It used
to be go to the record store and check the new releases and go, oh, that looks cool. And you take it home and find out it was a wise decision or a poor one. Whereas now you just jump on Spotify and type in what mood you're going for and listen to whatever's served up. I found the Facebook groups are good for finding new music. People like Pan are always keeping an eye on what's out.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the other thing is the time investment. If you're probably like me, you like to consume whole albums.
Yes.
Start to finish. So, yeah.
Well, I don't.
It takes a while. You need an hour a day for each artist you want to check out something new with, which is pretty hard with modern life because everything else is demanding attention. Your phone's gone ding. Your boss has called. You're working from home. You've got to go do something else. Your cat's crawling across your back. Everything's happening all at once.
So go to Dark Stereo because you can listen to some new artists, learn about some new artists. People who are helping artists. It's a good resource.
Yeah, it's a great way to get in touch with new artists and hear something different. If you're not old and pretty much almost dead, you know,
if you are old, it's easy. You just get on there, you download it, you hit play.
And it's good. It's not just like six songs. It's a big compilation.
Yeah.
So you're going to be busy for a while. And the greatest thing about it is if you download it all, you can stop it and come back to it in the exact same place you left it. So that's a cool thing about it, too.
And the link will be below. So tell us about the new album. Follow-up question. Why are you calling it a mini album?
I'll answer the last question first, just to make things confusing.
Cool.
I'm calling it mini because there aren't really a lot of tracks on there. I think it's seven tracks. Let me check. I'm one of those people that, I guess, does things and can then let them rest. So I can't even remember off the top of my head how many tracks are on this new release. It's seven. It might be eight by the 1st of September.
Okay.
So to me, I'm calling that, it's not an EP, right? It's seven tracks. Yeah. One of them's, you know, there's one at least 7 minutes long. There might even be one on there longer than that. But it's not a full album either. I feel like you need... If it's a real album, it has to fill up most of a CD, is the way I'd say. It needs to be 50 minutes or more. Otherwise, it's in this strange no man's land between EP and full album. So I'd just call it mini album.
And how long have you been working on it?
About a year, mixed in with all the other things going on. I find the track takes about a month from start to finish to sort out. So if I started something new today, it'd be ready in roughly 4 weeks' time. Oh, that seems to be the average. That's that includes mucking around and trying different things and maybe doing 50,000 guitar takes trying to get something right.
That's fast. I've been working on a song for like 15, 20 years. When I have one song, just it's an idea and it's like, it's almost sometimes like you have to experience a little bit of life to be able, or something has to happen for you to go ahead and finish it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, and so I have a lot of songs like that where I'm, for some reason, my subconscious is waiting for the right moment to give me the rest of it. You know, whether it be, I'd be totally pissed off. I'd be very sarcastic or angry or anxious. I need some type of extreme emotion to push it into existence, you know? And I imagine yours are the same way because yours are complicated. Your songs, there's a lot going on in your songs, even though you're going to be like, oh, no, really, I can't play. You know, you'd be all modest and stuff. But there's a lot going on.
I guess the difference is you do a lot of lyrics. Like, yours are songs. So you've got even more complications to deal with, like creating emotion, writing lyrics, all that stuff. I'm mainly instrumental, so I don't have to...
Not anymore.
Get into a space where I can write something cool about something that I've personally experienced.
You're a vocalist now.
Oh, because of one track.
That's right, dude.
Just the thing on it.
7 times burnt.
But see, the vocal version's only on YouTube. So it's not, I could argue, it's theoretically not included on the album.
Well, I thought that the song without the lyrics is just as cool with the lyrics. It's just, I don't even know how I came across the vocal version. I just remember listening to 7 Times Burnt and going, okay, he does long songs. This one's going to be a long one, but a lot happens in that song. And so when I was looking around and found your vocal version, I was like, he's going to add one more layer. What are the vocals going to add to it that you hadn't already added to it? So you got my curiosity piqued. So I went and checked it out. The cool thing about it being a video is you're actually playing some, and it actually shows like little snippets of you playing. And then you singing, because like you're kind of talking at first. And then at some point, I was like, is that vocal distortion? And then all of a sudden, it's like, it was cool. I didn't know you
could. But I'm in the mood.
did it hurt?
No. I hope no one from my work listens to this podcast, because I recorded that part in the office.
Oh, that's my favorite afternoon. thing ever.
My work colleague was out. I knew management was out. I had a microphone. I had to wait for some backups to happen because I'm doing IT at work. And I thought, what can I do for the next 10 minutes? So I plugged the mic in and thought, I hope no one's nearby. And what's a better vocal booth than your workplace? It should be well insulated, one would hope.
One would hope. And I hope that they do listen to this. And there was one person who was like in the hallway, in the bathroom, who's going to email the show.
Oh, they'll just think it's one of the other staffers. Yeah, I wrote the music first, I think. With anything I've done before with vocals in, it's been an instrumental track first, I guess by priority. I'm not writing to match vocals. It's the other way around. So write all the instrumental parts and then decide, does this need vocals on top? There's quite a few on inclusions where I'd planned them to be vocal tracks and have since decided, no, it's, you know, the bucket's full enough already. With 7 Times Burnt, I'd finished the track instrumentally and thought, does this need that extra layer? Would it be cool? Should I try it out? And I wrote some lyrics and kind of spent a bit of time playing around with those. And then, yeah, just recorded the vocals, put them on, and went through the pain of mixing. So I find as soon as you add vocals to something, you can triple the time you're going to need to play around with the files to get it to sound right. You have to reverse engineer some of what you've already done to get them to fit. And I'm not very good at that process. Mixing vocals it just takes so long. I quite dislike it. That's why I like instrumental as far as writing's concerned.
What's your vocal chain?
Oh, wow. On that, yeah. I can't remember, but there's probably a fair bit of compression and distortion on there.
So do you know... was it just something within the system you grabbed and applied to your vocals, or how did you pick the distortion you were going to use?
I usually just drop effects until something works. Experimentation.
It's very looking for solid answers he can use, and you're like, I just drop things until I like what I hear. He's like me.
Well, that's true. I go, does it need delay? I don't know. I'll put some delay on. How much do I want? Let's start with a little bit. And you go, needs more than that. And you crank it up and you go, yeah, that's cool, but it's clean. It sounds quite clean now. I'm going to distort it. You know, it's a bit like playing with clay. You grab what do they call it? What do the kids used to play with before there were iPhones and tablets and stuff?
Silly putty?
It was like colored putty stuff. Yeah. when you picked up a blob of that and you didn't know what you were going to make, you just go, I'm going to make something. And eventually you did. So it's kind of the same process. You just muck around with it and eventually you get what you want. I can kind of hear in my head how I want it to be. And it will either get there or fail, or it'll get to a completely different place and I go, oh, that's okay. I'll stick with that.
Thank you.
The whole album's concept is about flaws and fractures in different stuff. So I have this great love of gemstones and geology. Mm-hmm. And some of the gemstones I play with and cut are full of inclusions, which could be bubbles or little cracks inside. And if you're well trained, you can cut around these things, or other people who are also very good at cutting gemstones can cut so that these inclusions and flaws become part of the beauty of the stone. So this album, I wanted to do something, I guess, fairly mechanical sounding, because I've been using a lot of machinery lately, and also about flaws and things that are wrong, but ultimately can still be attractive and beautiful.
I like that.
That sounds weird when you say it, but
no, it doesn't.
So a big old piece of rock that looks like a piece of crap could actually be like really cool.
Yeah.
Or interesting in some way. So Seven Times Burnt. I had it in my head when I wrote this that it would be an instrumental, but when the vocals are added to it, I wanted to get across kind of a message of someone whose life has been fractured, flawed, or otherwise disturbed seven times from different angles, and that's kind of where it is. So someone who's been in the shit seven times is the simple version. Well, and we'd also had a lot of bushfires here a few years ago, and I see that you guys know a fair bit about bushfires in the States. That probably was playing in my subconscious as well, because there was almost a 12-month period where we couldn't really go outside very much or do anything, because you'd just come home coughing and feeling awful.
What do you think about people that use AI to create instrumentals or arrangements or lyrics? What are your thoughts on that? Some people are like, really cut that shit out, and some people are like okay with it.
Cut it.
I don't know. I'm not ready to classify this stuff as AI yet. It's not like a machine is thinking for itself, creating stuff out of things it's originally created. It's just grabbing information and stuff that's already there and reassembling it, right?
Right.
So if you say, hey, write me a song that sounds like Mozart's third violin concerto, it's going to go and, okay, I'm going to analyze that track. Well, what else sounds like it? I'm going to analyze that too. Who else has things tagged with particular words, yada, 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 and then it comes back and mushes all that together and goes, here you go, hope you like it. Now, I could be completely wrong, but this is my interpretation of what AI stuff's doing. I'm not ready to call it fully fledged AI yet. It's a kick-ass algorithm of some kind or some excellent computer coding, but it's not self-awareness yet. We're way off from that.
No, it's not self-aware, but the thing that's interesting about it is not that you can teach it, but you can tell it certain things, and then it can take that information and do something with it. Or if you wanted to write a paragraph, if you wanted to write an email, if you wanted to write a song. But if you think about it like this, then you know what rules to break. If it spits out something that's more common, so it's going to go through its database and then it'll condense it down to the most common things. And then at that point, you know what rules to break, because you can break any of the ones in the arrangement it gave you. And then that's how you can be creative using this.
I think using it like that is fine. If people were to write music with it, somehow enjoy the creative process and maybe even monetize it, go for it. I don't know if it's really for me. Yeah. Something about it, it feels like, it's kind of plagiarizing off existing data, right? So if you ask for a song that's a bit like yada, 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 it's just grabbing the work of others and plagiarizing it into a new form. I don't know. I don't know if that's satisfying enough personally for me. For some people it is, and that's great. But I still like to, I don't know, get in and actually press notes and make mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't used it for music. I have how to play with the ones that create images based on, you know, text prompts, but it never gives me what I want, you know?
No.
Because I see people using it for album covers and I'm like, wow, so the people that used to be commissioned to do like 3D art and some really crazy stuff, particularly mm-hmm. in the, I guess, the progressive metal sort of scene, have those guys lost some market share or what?
Yeah.
Because, and I thought, well, let's find out if they have. And I jumped in and I wanted like a dark sky and some blue mountains and some kind of portal hovering in the sky. And what it shot back at me was complete garbage. So I tried, you know, 4 or 5 times and it was just like, no, you could do this yourself in Photoshop much quicker than you can train this thing to give it to you automatically.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to put anyone out of business. It should not. It should not. Because the human brain, I think, is very creative. And that application, that whole technology is so far away from our ability to process information, especially the truly creative people.
All right. So let's move on to the next song. Let's move on to Meet the Blade. I really, really, really love that.
It had, like, to me, like a cool mix of classical meets metal vibe. I really liked it.
This is my favorite song.
I knew
of course,
it.
You only let me listen to two, you punk. But I love the orchestration. I thought the guitar work on this song was really good because I think it gets tricky when you start adding orchestration because you pretty much orchestrate all your guitar parts. So you're adding another level of orchestration, you know, when you pull in an orchestra or parts of an orchestra into your song. So that made it really interesting and how it kind of went back and forth between the two. And yeah, some of that's mixing, but other parts of it are you just kind of really trying to decide, you know, what's going to take over right here and what's going to carry the melody and what's going to push the rhythm through it and things like that. But it is my favorite song, but it did make me sad because I think Bleeding Facet could be better, but I'll never know. I'll never know because...
Well, you'll know when it's released.
Well, it's supposed to be released in September, right?
By the time this is out, it will have been released.
Right?
Yeah, you've got a week. Yeah, a week from
okay.
right now, which is, I don't know how, do you guys... Still must spend a fair bit of time editing our conversations to take out the naughty stuff. So
yes.
I try to put so much in there that it's almost impossible to take it all out.
You're the bane of my existence.
So my question about this one is, so what's the process? Please don't tell me, oh, I just do this and it just happens.
Yeah, just drag and drop a rhythm and see what happens.
Ah!
That's an issue question.
When you're doing your orchestration, how are you deciding, other than just going, that sounds good, how are you deciding where stuff is at? Are you just like playing it all at the same volume? How do you know what to lower and what to raise? How are you making those decisions?
I start usually with the more ambient sounds. Mm-hmm. So I usually start a track intending it to be pretty, pretty mellow. Maybe a bit more classical feeling. And it's only, I guess, after time that things can progressively get more heavy or nasty along the way. So I always start with the intention of doing something pleasant to listen to. So I start with the ambient tracks, probably some synth pads, something like that. Add in piano, some strings. And once that's built up, quite often I find I'll hit a point where it needs to change now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'll listen through from the start to the end of what I've done and go, okay, where is that point that this has to really get shuffling along? And then I'll mark that point in there and start introducing other things and probably fading the ambient stuff out and potentially bringing it back later on. So I feel like this Inclusions album might not be particularly accessible. It's pretty disjointed. I mean, it's even more less accessible than my earlier stuff, which is also fairly inaccessible. depending on your taste, but it is disjointed. And I can lie and say that that was intentional, or just admit that kind of the way it turned out. And I didn't mind the fact that perhaps you don't know from bar to bar where you are and what's coming up. I like that because I get bored listening to things. I'm sure you guys know what it's like to listen to the same thing over and over. But if it can still surprise you while you're doing that, then I feel like that makes it more fun to make.
We'll be right back.
I start with the soft stuff and progressively get heavier until there's a point then when I do the reverse and go, whoa, this is too much. Let's pull it back. And I'll either just go, chop, we're going straight into something soft, or I'll fade it in. Hmm. How I make that decision, I don't know. Usually I'll just chop. Depends on the instruments involved and what your ears are left hearing between.
Is it kind of like when you're playing live and you're at band practice or you're doing some improv with these guys you play with and you have this progression and you're playing it a certain way and then at some point you feel it pull you a different direction?
I think at this point something in the track's not interesting me anymore. It's been going for too long, or it's too repetitive, or yeah, I get that mood now, let's change it. It's usually, I don't know, a couple of bars, sometimes longer, maybe it might be four bars, but it's usually fairly short segments.
I don't know. Maybe I'm too technical. I don't know.
No, I'm kind of the same but different, because I'm not using verse chorus structure or any real structure at all. It's just usually building up from something quieter into something stronger and then finding that point along the way where you feel like your ears have had enough or your brain's had enough and it needs to change. I guess it's a bit like a staring contest between myself and the computer. How long can I look at this and hear it for? Okay, that's enough. And that's the point.
So do you do that? So because you're in front of a computer listening to it, but you can also see the sound waves as you're going through it. So is it a combination of hearing it and watching it, or sometimes are you just looking at it and not listening to it and you're like, okay, I need this to change right here based off of the sound waves that I'm looking at in my GUI?
I think it's more what I'm hearing than what I'm seeing. Yeah. Because what I'm seeing, honestly, is usually quite a messy disaster on screen.
That's fine.
I don't work very neatly, I'll confess. I'll send you a screenshot of the door one day.
You should post that online. People like to see that.
People might think it's quite normal, but for me, I'm always, maybe I'm too self-critical. I'm like, does everyone else work like this? Like, seriously, how do they remember what goes where? I mean, if you've got time, you can mark each track with what instrument it is and you can arrange them in some kind of order. Like, maybe have your drums up the top and then the bass and then the guitar. I don't do that. Mine's more chronological. So if I start recording violin parts first, they're up the top. And then, what was that heavy bit I was thinking about? Put that in on two and then just keeps going down the page.
That's funny because
it's like writing a book, I guess. You start with the prelude and you work your way through to the last chapter. But
when I'm mixing,
the characters change.
When I'm mixing, I start with the drums and then I do the bass and then I do the guitar, the rhythm guitar, you know, and I have like a way that I do my stuff. So it's kind of funny that you just throw that shit up there and it is what it is.
I just do it in whatever order it's recorded in.
That's crazy.
So some tracks I'll start with drums because I know, okay, drums are going to be prominent in this and I need a beat to work from. So that goes in first. Whereas the next piece might be, I want this to be light. Let's put some classical instruments in. Mm-hmm. Maybe let's have a tootle on acoustic guitar for a while. And I might be, I don't know, 2 minutes into a song and then go, hell, I need some drums now. And they'll end up in the middle of the screen somewhere. One thing about the way I work, which is really frustrating, is when you write material and then you start thinking, maybe this should be performed live one day. And now it's time to relearn all those parts or work out who would play what. And then you go back into your track. And yeah, it's a nightmare. I think it will take me longer to work out how to perform stuff live than actually just write it and record it.
you'll probably need like 17 musicians to be able to do it.
Oh, so not solo, you're telling me? Oh, no.
Well, you have a lot going on, so I don't know how. I mean, I guess you could use a looper or, you know, track, you know, while you're playing solo and then push it through the sound system. That's a way to do it. Or a looper.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to us today. We're happy to be here, and I hope you are happy to be here. Maybe we're all happy. Thanks for listening to...
Shiny, happy people holding hands.
There you go.
There it is. Sorry.
I'm more of a everybody hurts kind of guy. So anyway, that was Ivan of Minor Art. He is a multi-instrumentalist. And you know what drives me crazy is I was expecting him to lay down some technical stuff, and he'd never give it to me. It's like he was just teasing me.
Make sure you click those links below to show Ivan some love.
Show him some.
That album is out. That album is out. Please go buy it. Also, check out Dark Stereo. That link is also below. I don't think we have anything else to say right now, but we do have some things coming up in the near future. Aside from all the wonderful things we do, Brent, do you have anything else?
This bud's for you.
Puns for you. That's right. I like that.
Yo, guys, have a good evening. Thank you.
All right. And remember to make
some.